Chapter 16.
Senator Organa, welcome to Lesu and to Ryloth.
Emissary Yendor strode toward the Mirror Bright, his walking staff in one hand. Although he wore the long, tan cape that marked him as an official, he had abandoned his formal robes for a simple brown jacket and pants, leather straps twined around his leku. His casual dress meant that he had complied with her request to keep her arrival low-key. That, and the broad grin on his blue face. Leia smiled in return. It used to be Princess Leia back on Hoth.
We're not on Hoth now,
Yendor said in good humor.
Thank goodness. If I'm never that cold again, it'll be too soon. And I only washed off the last of the Tauntaun stink about a year ago.
They didn't smell that bad.
With all due respect, Your Highness, you never had to muck out their stalls.
Point taken. Leia held out her hand, and as they shook, she took a quick glance around. This was the only spaceport for Lesu, Ryloth's main capital city, yet almost no other activity seemed to be taking place. Ships remained inert. Cargo was neither loaded nor unloaded. Foot traffic seemed minimal. Normally, Leia would have attributed this to a senator's arrival, but as per her instructions, no ceremony had been arranged. Only the emissary and a small group of local security had come to greet them. Lesu's spaceport was this quiet because there was simply not enough traffic to fill the area. Ryloth's trying hard to rebuild from their centuries of oppression, she realized, but they've got a long way to go. To Emissary Yendor, she said only, Princess Leia is fine now, too. Any friend from the Rebellion is a friend for life. You flew with Corona Squadron, didn't you?
Yes, Your Highness.
Yendor's smile became less formal, more proud. Every old soldier liked to be remembered. He glanced past her to the others coming up behind.
Please, introduce me to the rest of your team.
C-3PO, Human-Cyborg Relations.
C-3PO performed a little bow.
Though we have met before, Emissary Yendor, we worked together on recalibrating the thermo units for Echo Base one afternoon, precisely 5 days after our arrival on Hoth. May I say it is a pleasure to see you again.
How could I ever have forgotten that day?
Yendor said, managing to sound sincere. Leia introduced the rest of her party. This is my intern, Cor Sela, and my pilot, Lieutenant Joff Seastriker.
Good to meet you both, Yendor said, even if you have absolutely no right to be so young.
Corey and Joff gave each other a look. Leia managed not to react to their dismay, but it struck her again how youthful they appeared. Younger even than Ben, with their puppy-fat cheeks and unlined faces. Yet somehow, Leia had been a senator at Corey's age, and not even as old as Joff when the Rebellion won the Battle of Endor. Yendor could only be 5 or 6 years older than Leia herself. And if Joff and Corey looked so young to her, how old must she look to them? They had to feel as if they were shepherding a museum piece around the galaxy. To judge by Yendor's expression, he was having the same thoughts. We belong to another age, she thought with a sigh. But we have to make our way in this one. However, the rest of their day felt like living through an era so far distant it ought to have predated the Old Republic.
Is it all written on paper?
Corey said in despair, about 3 hours into their work in the Ryloth archives. Except the stuff that's written on tanned hides. Leia put the ancient vellum to one side, wrinkling her nose. Or on wooden tablets or rolls. But yes, it's all either written or printed. Only Joff Seastriker's thick shock of golden hair showed behind his high stack of leather-bound volumes.
Could they seriously not afford regular holograms or computers or anything? Ever?
No, Lieutenant Seastriker, they couldn't. Leia kept her voice civil, but her staffers needed to understand this. Ryloth has never had much in the way of resources, and whatever they had was traditionally taken away from them by either the Niktos or the Hutts. They learned that if they wanted to preserve their own version of their history, this was the only way they could do it. We have to respect that, even if it makes our jobs harder. Which it did. Immensely. But nobody ever said being a member of the Galactic Senate was fun. She, Corey, Joff, and C-3PO were clustered around a long sandstone table in the heart of the Ryloth Archives, a vast, cavernous basement area in which all the planet's records were kept, going back to what seemed to be the beginning of time. Candle droids floated close by, giving Leia enough light to work by, but making the rest of the space feel even colder and darker by contrast.
Here's more to add to the dossier, Your Highness.
C-3PO tapped his metal hand on the page of an open book.
Another mention of Rinriven Dai. This one from approximately 15 years ago.
Corey leaned toward the page, her eyes narrowing as she tried to make out the handwritten words.
It's a list of the Hutt's spice brokers. Rinriven was on the lowest rung of the operation, at least as far as anyone on Ryloth knew.
I'd be willing to bet that was accurate. Leia folded her arms across her chest as she sat back in her chair. She'd worn a lightweight jumpsuit for the journey, appropriate for Lesu's moderate climate, but inadequate to the damp chill of the Archives. To judge by what we've seen from Rinriven's dossier so far, up until 7 to 10 years ago, he was no one. Little money, less power, hardly any independent organization of his own. And now? We've turned up enough information to know Rinriven has one of the largest criminal enterprises in the galaxy. C-3PO swiveled his torso to her, tilting his head as if in human curiosity.
Perhaps our information is inaccurate, Your Highness. It comes from humans and other sentient creatures, not machines, and could therefore be faulty.
Leia shook her head. No. Though we don't know everything about Rinriven's operations yet, we've seen too much to doubt that he's at least as powerful as the Twi'leks told us. Probably more.
Well, what about this?
Joff pushed the books in front of him to one side so he could make eye contact with the others again.
Maybe another cartel collapsed around that time. One of the Hutts died without an heir, something like that. Rinriven could have seen an opportunity, stepped in, picked up wherever the other cartel left off.
Leia weighed that idea for a long moment, before saying, "That would be plausible. The only problem is we have no records of any such cartel. Not here, not on Hosnian Prime, nowhere."
Rinriven stayed out of sight long enough, Corey pointed out. We might not have known the other cartel existed. Surely there are others out there we haven't heard about even now.
True. But if Rinriven were merely stepping into a power vacuum, by now we'd have run across traces of whoever it was he was replacing. We haven't.
She wished they had.
The more she thought about the mysterious origins of Rinriven Dai's operations, the more deeply they unnerved her. As she and Casterfo had speculated, someone else had sponsored Rinriven Dai. Her lone meeting with the Niktos had taught Leia that the man was no fool, and not the type to readily accept second-tier status from just anyone. Whatever the real power was behind Rinriven's cartel, its reach had to go almost past anything Leia could imagine.
Are you still sure this isn't connected to the Centrists?
Corey ventured, gesturing at the piles of ledgers on the table.
Because all of this suggests Rinriven's money goes to Centrist worlds. That makes me think the original money must have come from there, too.
Just because a planet politically aligns itself with the Centrists doesn't say anything about what any individual citizens might do or believe. Leia said the words, and she meant them, but inside, she felt the inexorable tug that told her something was very wrong here. Centrist worlds pride themselves on law and order, she thought, remembering Ransom Casterfo's words about the death penalty on Ryosa. They'd be more likely to pick up on large-scale criminal enterprises operating in their midst. Could every single Centrist world touched by Rinriven's cartel truly be ignorant of his power and reach? Possibly. Few peoples had as much reason to track the Nikto as the Twi'leks did. But Leia now sensed the shape beneath the surface, the immensity of the danger lurking just out of sight, but growing closer all the time. Piloting a top-of-the-line ship like the Mirror Bright to an independent world like Ryloth as part of a secret mission? High-quality adventure. Top grades. Excitement score of 7, maybe 7.5. Spending hours sitting in a musty basement reading words written on actual paper, trying to trace financial records? 0 adventure. Excitement score so low it had actually drained excitement out of other parts of Joff's life, like a black hole engulfing all light and heat.
"This stinks," he confided to his one companion on the ship that evening.
"I detect no strong chemical components in the onboard atmosphere,"
C-3PO replied.
"Though, of course, that's not part of my primary programming. We could locate an astromech unit for a more thorough scan of the ship's ventilation systems."
I didn't mean literally. Joff kicked back in the pilot's seat, staring glumly out at the silent stillness of the spaceport. "I meant that this is boring."
"I see, sir."
The droid's politeness never flagged. Joff wondered if the droid's programming kept him from ever being bored. Or maybe to C-3PO, humans were so slow and dim-witted that boredom was all he knew. Princess Leia had been invited to some kind of dinner. If the event were a grand state banquet, Joff would probably have been asked to attend as well. However, this was a humbler affair, a private gathering that Emissary Yendor had put together for the princess and some others who had known one another during the war. Corey, meanwhile, was finishing up work in the archives. Until she returned, Joff had nothing to do but guard the ship.
"Hey, at least you got a chance to fly this,"
Joff reminded himself as he looked at the Mirror Bright's sleek console. Not much consolation, but he had to take what he could get. Just then, the communications unit began to blink with the pattern of lights that meant top priority message. Joff sat up straight. Only someone from the Senate or another high official in the New Republic could send that kind of message. It happened so rarely that his training had never covered how to handle it. Did he answer for Senator Organa? Or would he be violating security protocols even seeing it? He had to try. Joff punched in the appropriate signal.
"Mirror Bright receiving, Lieutenant Seastriker here."
"Joff?"
Senator Casterfo's face took shape on screen.
"I take it Leia's not aboard, then?"
"Banquet."
Should he have phrased that more carefully? Didn't matter. Joff continued.
"I can, take a message. Or go get her if it's that urgent."
"Not quite that urgent. Though we should act soon."
Casterfo leaned closer to the projector screen, so that his hollow seemed to hover in the cockpit itself.
"Greer's turned up evidence that the Amaxines are far more than a militia. They seem to be a substantial fighting force in training."
"In training for what?"
Joff asked. Behind him, Corey walked in, the Mirror Bright's door swishing shut behind her. She frowned as she came closer, listening to the call.
"That's the question. But here's the thing. We need to conclusively link Rin Rivin Dai to the Amaxines post-haste. If we can't bring them down along with Rin Rivin, this could be more than a mere criminal matter. The Amaxines might defend him or avenge him. Given the scale they're operating on, it could even mean open conflict between systems."
Joff straightened in his chair.
"All right. What can we do here?"
"Greer suggested that Rin Rivin would scarcely leave such a large fighting force unmonitored. We performed some scans that turned up spy satellites sending periodic updates from Daxam 4 to a few worlds, including Ryloth."
"You think Rin Rivin Dai is hiding out here?"
Corey said. If Casterfo found it odd that Corey was now a part of the conversation, he gave no sign.
"No, I think Ryloth is a relay station of some sort. Rin Rivin has enough influence there to bribe local officials into simply not detecting his satellites orbiting Ryloth. What we need to know is where the Ryloth satellites are sending their signals."
The final puzzle piece snapped into place.
because that's going to tell us where Rinrivendai is. Senator Casterfo nodded, or Joff did. The signal wavered, distorting the image of his face for a moment.
Very likely. We're transmitting the specs you should search for right now. If you can find and splice those satellites, this investigation will take a big leap ahead.
We're on it, Joff promised, as the computer began processing the received data. Anything else Casterfo might have added was lost, when the holo signal blanked out completely. After a moment of silence, it became clear that he would not re-signal, or could not. Joff drummed his hands against the bulkhead.
We've got a mission. No, we've got a secret mission. Now that's more like it.
Wait, you're going now? Corey said. As in right this moment?
Hey, you heard the senator. It's important.
We haven't even told Senator Organa.
She's busy, and another member of the Galactic Senate just gave us orders.
Corey sat in the co-pilot's seat, datapad clutched to her chest, her loose, curly hair framing her worried face.
Do you want to do this now because you think it's so critical that we shouldn't wait? Or because you're just bored?
Joff grinned.
Yes.
But sir...
3PO shuffled out of the back, where he'd been powered down for too brief a time.
This is highly irregular. Princess Leia would undoubtedly wish to be consulted.
Probably. However, the more Joff thought about this, the more he was sure this was the right time. And he hoped that wasn't just his own wishful thinking.
If Rinrivendai has spies here on Ryloth, and he probably does, he's most likely to be watching Senator Organa herself. Not us. Which means our best chance of doing this without being observed is acting now, while the Senator's somewhere else.
Although Corey's expression still looked dubious, she finally nodded. 3PO said,
I'm sure we're making a terrible mistake.
Only if I screw it up.
Joff brought the engines online and felt the mirror bright shiver around them, ready for action.
And I'm not going to screw it up.
They soared away from Ryloth, a bright streak in its night sky, leaving the hazy blanket of the planet's atmosphere to just skim orbit. Normally, vessels stayed cleared of the narrow bands of satellites circling the equator, but Joff pulled in close as Corey double-checked each against the specs that would help them identify likely targets. Within minutes, the viewer began to ping with multiple red dots. Satellites that might be working for Rinriven. Joff skimmed closer to the first one, feeling as if he were threading the ship through an asteroid belt. Silvery satellites dotted the space around them as he matched orbital speed.
3PO, you can process the data coming in from one of these if I hijack the signal for a few seconds, right?
C-3PO cocked his golden head.
I function primarily as a protocol droid and translator, advising Princess Leia on matters of higher diplomatic importance.
But you speak to other machines, so you can understand these satellites.
If not, Joff's day was about to get a whole lot more difficult. If the droid could have sniffed, he would have.
If you so require, sir.
I do.
Joff slipped in even tighter, until the satellite was practically close enough to touch the Mirror Bright's gleaming white hull. Just as he was about to tell C-3PO to get started, however, an idea took shape in his mind.
The satellites have to be sending information to Rinriven regularly. But there's no way Rinriven's staying in one place. Not while he's wanted like this. We don't need to just retrieve the data. We need to tap into it permanently.
Thinking fast, Joff said,
Hey, 3PO, if you can get the satellite to give us the data now, can you reprogram it to keep sending us the data going forward? Including the primary destination for the signal?
I could, sir, but that will be far more time-consuming.
Corey broke in.
If we take too long up here, we could be detected. That would blow the whole thing.
Yeah, but that's the only way to be sure we're tracking Rinrivendai.
She nodded, but her expression remained troubled.
Senator Casterfo gave us specific orders.
That's just because he hadn't thought of this yet.
We should stick to the plan for now and ask Senator Organa about your idea later.
Interacting with the satellites twice would be way more likely to trip any alarms, right, 3PO?
Joff turned toward the droid.
Yes, sir. But Senator Castervo's orders were quite clear. We shouldn't disobey them.
Joff would have thumped C-3PO upside his metal head if he wouldn't have bruised his hand in the process.
We're not disobeying his orders. We're improving them.
Joff, don't!
Corey pleaded. He'd gotten into the habit of thinking of her as someone closer to his own age, but the alarm in her voice reminded him that she was only 16.
It's too big a risk!
It's too good a chance to waste, Joff made up his mind. We're doing this. I'm noting for the record that I proceeded over both your objections. If something goes wrong, it's on me.
C-3PO looked as though he were about to blow a circuit.
If we're captured by Rin Riven's thugs, we'll be doomed!
They're not going to fly up here and grab us in the act, Joff said, mentally adding, at least I doubt it. Is there some kind of sleep mode, something like that you can put the satellites into? That would slow down any alarm activation. Resigned, the droid said,
I'll try my best, sir.
The work turned out to be at the edge of C-3PO's capabilities, but he could manage it. Over and over, Joff wheeled the mirror bright toward a satellite, flying with the precision necessary to bring them close enough for signal range, and let C-3PO coax the satellites into sleep mode. Then, while the data was being downloaded, they could input codes suggesting that the satellites do a little extra work the next time they broadcast their signals. Although they worked as quickly as possible, the delicate flying and C-3PO's complex task meant that every single satellite got within seconds of activating automatic alarms before they were able to detach. The suspense made Corey look seasick, and 3PO's complaints were interrupted only by his panic. But Joff enjoyed himself immensely. A challenge to his skills, a mission with some meaning to it, and following his gut to come up with a better idea than he'd had before. This was what Joff had dreamed about on Gatalenta. He hadn't had this much fun since he'd piloted his X-Wing down into the caverns of Bastatha. That feeling of exhilaration lasted until later that night, after they'd landed, and Princess Leia found out what they'd done. Let me get this straight, Leia paced in front of Joff, who stood rigidly at attention in front of the ship's cockpit. In the far corner of the main room, Corey and C-3PO stood by silently. Corey's worry and sympathy were as obvious as the droid's unspoken I told you so. You took it upon yourself to improve Castervo's orders.
Yes, ma'am. The idea came to me in a moment of inspiration. I felt you would have okayed my actions if you'd been present.
The princess stopped mid-step and gave him a steely stare. But I wasn't present, Lieutenant Seastriker. And you shouldn't presume to guess what I would and wouldn't approve.
Yes, ma'am. I know. But
maybe she hadn't quite figured out what they'd managed to do up there.
We're going to get updates on Rin Riven Dai's location from now on. That's gotta be worth the risk, right?
That's not your call to make, Lieutenant. You could have exposed this entire operation.
Yes, ma'am.
Joff wondered just how many demerits he was going to receive for this. Surely she wouldn't bust him back down to Ensign, would she? She continued, You're here to work with me on this mission as I command. Have I made myself perfectly clear? By now, Joff's spirits had sunk down to the soles of his boots.
Yes, ma'am.
A few moments of silence passed, during which Joff awaited his orders to get his butt back in the cockpit. Until Princess Leia said, It was a good idea. Joff grinned as he lifted his head. While the princess had folded her arms across her chest, her expression had changed from stern to intrigued. He ventured,
Yes, ma'am. I mean, thank you.
Next time you have a similar moment of inspiration, you run it by me first. You've got good instincts, but they won't help you much if you don't learn to work as part of a team. Princess Leia nodded toward the cockpit. You strung the net for us, Sea Striker. Let's see if you've caught anything yet.
Joff eagerly sat down in the pilot's chair and brought up the satellite signals. Princess Leia took the navigator's position, and Corey and C-3PO came up behind. A few lines of small green type began to appear on the screen.
Not a whole lot yet, but we can pinpoint the location the signal's being sent to.
Excellent, the princess said.
Oh, it was nothing. Merely some complex programming performed very quickly indeed,
C-3PO said with obvious pride.
I'm always happy to have been of service.
Throwing a dirty glance over his shoulder, Joff forced himself to concentrate on the work at hand. When he had the data, he fed it into the navigation computer to see which location it would spit out. Within moments, a planet came up, one Joff had never heard of before.
Sibensko. Expansion region in largely centrist space. Do you know it, Senator?
No, Leia said. But I have a feeling we'll all get to know it before long.